You are now entering the world of Blissful Living, broadcasting around the globe and on the Blissful Living Network with Rochelle Marie Lawson. Are you lacking energy, clarity, and that sense of true well-being? Are you overworked, underpaid, and know that you deserve more in life? You are not alone. Improve your wellness, wisdom, and wealth so that you can step into living the life of your dreams. And now, here's your host of Blissful Living, the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blissful Living. This is the queen of feeling fabulous, Rochelle Marie Lawson, and I have a show for you that's a little different. You may not be used to this format, but I guarantee that you are going to love it, and you're going to love the guests for this show today. We are going to talk about being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, and I have two wonderful, fabulous, unstoppable women with us. But before we get started, first of all, I want to say, you know, this is a great time to find a place to sit back and relax, grab something to write with, piece of paper, pen, whatever is your preference in writing, and chill it out for a few minutes. Grab your favorite beverage and just sit back and relax and take a little bit of time out of your busy day for yourself, because the guests today are really going to share some wonderful words of wisdom with you, as well as helping you to realize that as women and very smart men, we can all be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable and really step into doing what we want to do, how we want to do it, when we want to do it, and why we want to do it. So before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Blissful Living for You at blissfullivingforyou.com, and that's Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com, as well as our other sponsor, All Day Cable Incorporated, which is a telecommunications installation company located in the heart of Silicon Valley. They have been in business for 30 years, have survived every kind of economic challenge we've had in the last 30 years, and they are still going strong. What they do is they install voice data fiber optic cabling, and they help to set up or create or basically design your network distribution system so that when you make those telecommunications connections, you get that connection the first time. And their motto is they make the right connections so that you don't lose any business or any money. So if you have a need for that, if you're looking for voice data, fiber, wireless system, audio, video, any visual type of things that go with telecommuting the way we do business today, then you definitely want to check them out at alldaycableinc.com. So I am super excited because this is, I would say, like the little taste of an appetizer that's going to be happening with regards to the Unstoppable Woman Summit. And my two speakers or two guests today are two speakers for the Unstoppable Woman Summit, turning your passion into purpose. And so if you're an unstoppable woman, or you know a lady that's unstoppable, or you know women that want to learn how to be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable, then I invite you to share this show with them, because they're going to get some words of wisdom and things that they can take away immediately to incorporate into their life, as well as a special gift at the end. So first guest today is, let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Julie Miller Davis, and Julie is a productivity and efficiency expert. She brings a fresh perspective on avoiding overwhelm and reaching goals in an intentional manner. She trains business owners how to live and work at their highest level of efficiency, guiding her clients to reset to patterns of excellence, leaving mediocrity in the dust. Now, Julie's out-of-the-box thinking, knowledge on how to say yes to what's important and no to what is not, and ability to help you regain control of your pursuit of your goals makes her one to watch in the world of productivity, prioritizing, and efficiency. Her background is in teaching, leadership, and entrepreneurship, and she has shaped herself into an expert speaker and trainer, and that is what she is doing today. So welcome, Julie. And then our next,
thank you.
You're very welcome. And who doesn't want to know how to, like, overcome overwhelm? right? I think today that's a very, very appropriate message. Now, our next guest is the lovely Megan Sweet. And Megan is my homie from the Silicon Valley. Not really. I don't really, really know her like that. But she is a fellow Northern California, San Francisco, Bay Area type of chick. Megan has studied at Mills College. She has a degree from Stanford University as well as UC Berkeley. Woo. I bet that was intriguing because those two are rivals. And Megan is... she is a true leader. Now, her leadership experience comes from a variety of different things. For one, being a director of training at Mindful Schools. She's a founder and CEO of Empower Essentials, director of continuous school improvement, and lead network partner for the Oakland Unified School District. She has been an improvement facilitator, a director of education finance. She's done a lot of things, and with regards to her experience, she's done some research and she has publications and presentations. And so Megan is going to share her wisdom in her informative information about how she steers fearless and unstoppable and what she can do to help you become that way as well. So welcome, Megan, to Blissful Living.
Well, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. So, ladies, I just want to start off with, first of all, saying thank you to saying yes to being a speaker at the Unstoppable Woman Summit. Now, initially, we were supposed to have the live summit beginning August 1st, and it is a seven-city tour. But since the lovely coronavirus, a.k.a. COVID-19, has taken havoc on our country and places around the world, we've had to kind of rethink things. And so what we're doing is we're going to have a virtual summit on August 1st, beginning at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. And these ladies are part of that virtual summit. They're going to give you an appetizer, and then we're going to have the main meal in 2021 in January when it is potentially safe for all of us to get together and do the damn thing, which is stepping into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. So thank you, ladies, for stepping up and saying yes, because I know there are a ton of women out there that want to tap into your wisdom, your expertise, and get to know what and how you step into being fearless, fierce, and unstoppable. So I'm going to start with you first, Julie. Julie, can you just share with the listeners, I liked what I read about you with regards to overcoming overwhelm. And so can you share with the listeners what made you decide to focus on that?
Well, before I started my JMD productivity business, my initial career was as a school teacher. And then after I had my baby, I was in another business. And what I was finding was that a lot of women were working themselves to death and just not having time for their families, feeling stressed out. And I had always kind of been someone who, I think from watching my mom overwork herself, I had always decided that I wasn't going to do that. wasn't going to walk that path. And so some things that I had worked on really hard for a long time as far as how to say no and how not to say yes to everything is kind of where I ended up landing and finding some tools through research and whatnot to help women not work 7 days a week, not sacrifice themselves, not sacrifice their families in the name of developing a business. And so that's where that came out of.
I love that. It's funny because you know, I'm not really sure how old you ladies are, but I'm probably older than both of you. But I remember the days when, you know, moms worked outside the home, and it wasn't like you had a choice. It was that's what they had to do with regards to dad working outside the home as well. And then, you know, my mom would work all day and then come home and then cook dinner for us every night and, you know, make sure we did our homework and, you know, just stayed on top of us. And I think sometimes it did become overwhelming for her in certain periods of her life. And so overwhelm is a big thing because that can literally stop women and men, but it can literally stop us from moving forward in our path and you know, basically just halting us in the direction we want to go, but we're so overwhelmed, sometimes we don't know which direction that may be, and so sometimes people just stop. Now, you said you were an educator initially, and then you started a business. What made you step into that fearless move of going from being an educator with a job to being an entrepreneur with your own business?
Well, I stopped teaching because I had a baby, and I had taught for 17 years. So I was an older parent and had really already been by that time, you know, had a really good career for almost 20 years. And so what made me really decide that I wanted to step into being fearless and unstoppable as an entrepreneur was more about the freedom of being able to raise my child and be there for him and not be, you know, as a teacher, I was on a bell schedule for my whole career, and to not be tied to anybody's hours and decide. And, you know, like even now, Rochelle, what I'm able to do is in the summertime, my son's he's going to be a senior in high school. So I'm able to follow him around his golf tournaments every Monday. I don't worry about working. And then I am able to do the things that I like to do recreationally. But then I'm working about 3 days a week in the summertime. I work really hard in the fall, and I work really hard in the spring. And then in the winter and the summer, I'm able to let myself do the things that I love to do while still serving my clients. And so it was about being able to also do what I was doing for myself and empower other women to do that for themselves.
I love it. I love it. It is empowering when you can set your own schedule and do things by your own timeline, so to speak. I can totally relate to that. My kids are quite a bit older than yours, but I remember having the two of them. And when I was building my very first business and doing all the things that it took to do that, sometimes I would have to take my daughter with me to different board meetings or things of that nature. And it just fit perfect because, again, I was on my own timeline. I could fit my children's activities into my day and still be super productive. I could work as much as I wanted to and still have a very, really productive and successful business, but still give my kids the quality time that I felt that they needed as they were growing up. So it's wonderful that you were able to do that. Megan, I want to jump into you and ask you now, you have a vision, three visions for, is it essential for living an empowered life? And you call them your three I's. Tell me, first of all, what led you to become fearless and unstoppable and leave all that wonderful education and training that you had obtained and to step into being that chick that is doing her own business when you have the clout of Stanford and Cal Berkeley behind you? Those are those are schools with a lot of clout. Just say you went to Stanford or you graduated from Stanford, that carries a lot of clout. So what made you jump out of that into the world of just owning your own thing and doing your own thing and turning your passion into purpose and profit?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I was in education too for a long time, and I'm now have 25 plus years in education, and I started really young. And what I kept finding as I continued to climb up the career ladder in education. So I went from being a teacher to a school administrator to a district administrator, and then actually helped consult even at the statewide level in California on some work. What I found was that the higher up I got and the more responsibilities I had, also, and this is obvious, but the more stress I had, the more overwhelm. So I love that you talk about overwhelm. the more challenging everybody's lives were actually that were in those spaces. And I found, and I spent a lot of my last 10 years coaching superintendents and principals, so leaders of education organizations. And I saw that they were sharing a lot of the same challenges as me of, like, you know, nonstop work, high degrees of stress, and actually freezing a lot, not being able to make the right decisions because you do get to this place of overwhelm or of self-doubt. And the way we often handle that in education, frankly, is by attacking each other. Educators, I think, are like the most warm-hearted people that you can meet, and they'll cut you, you know, like in parts as well. So, you know, like, you got to watch it. And those spaces got really toxic, frankly. And so I just started developing a really deep mindfulness practice and trying to understand for myself ways that I could live a little bit more grounded and balanced and have a little bit more self-reliance and self-connection, because I was just dealing too much with the external kind of messages and voices and stress that was coming my way. And that's what led me to create the three I's. So my belief is for anyone, definitely for women, but for anyone, the key to living a more grounded and well-rounded life is to learn to approach yourself through three different lenses, kind of continuously, kind of imagine wearing them like glasses and having them on your face. They kind of filter how you experience life. The first one is intellect.
I was going to say, can you share those three eyes with us? Because I know what they are, but I think the listeners would love it because, and I love your little, I don't know what it's called, graphic with regards to it, because I'm like, oh, I could totally relate to all of these. So, yeah.
Thank you.
The three eyes.
Yeah. So the first eye is intellect. It's the one we all use anyway. It's the one that in Western culture is really predominant, right? So it's our logical thinking and reasoning. And there's nothing wrong with that except for that we especially in the West tend to lean on that really heavily. And it can make mistakes just by the way our brains are shaped. It makes mistakes the way it's formed. You know, a lot of our implicit biases and a lot of the challenges that we actually have in our self-conception and in our perception of others actually forms in our brains as we're developing from youth and kind of lodge there in our intellectual minds. So we need to learn to check that area a little bit. Those are the other eyes come in. The second eye is insight, and that's really doing perspective taking. So it's committing to a regular practice of introspection, paying attention to yourself, paying attention to your thoughts and impressions as they occur, noticing patterns. So are you consistently complaining about the same things or having problems with the same kinds of people? Or are you having the same kinds of issues at work all the time? Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just really developing self-awareness. And then the third one is intuition. And intuition really is learning actually how to get out of your head and connect back into your heart and your body more. So learning to have a mind-body connection. That can be as woo-woo as you want it to be. The simplest version is actually learning to connect back in with your body again. Our bodies actually give us a lot of really great cues as to how we're feeling inside. And we just need to make the commitment of getting there.
Mm-hmm. Megan, hold on one minute. Can you say that one more time, because I don't think the listeners are hearing you. Say it one more time, girl.
Our bodies give us a lot of clues as to what's going on, and all we need to do is actually just listen to them. So we need to get out of our heads and stop rationalizing and just feel into our bodies and make that mind-body connection again. It's pretty amazing what you can find there. Lots of good, like, physiological reasons of what goes on there, but truly, like, if we make that mind-body connection, we open ourselves to a whole new vista of information right at our fingertips.
Oh, my God.
So that's the idea.
I'm like, jumping off the, what are they called? What are the kids called? Oh, I can't even, I don't even want to go there, but I'm like, just bouncing in my seat because I totally am in 100% agreement with you with regards to that. And I think a lot of times, as women or just people, but I'm going to focus on women, we tend to want to do something and then we rationalize ourselves out of it.
Absolutely.
And if we just took that moment, took that space, and basically I said use your three eyes or use some of what Julie says with regards to overwhelm, if we just took the time, like I tell the listeners, you know, take this 30-minute time just for yourself. Tell the kids, give me 30. You know, tell a hubby or your spouse or whoever, give me 30. If you have to lock yourself in the closet like I used to do when my daughter was, like, little, you just give me 30 minutes, because sometimes that time is very important. And through just spending that time with yourself, you get the reflection. You get to be intuitive. You get insight into what's going on. And things will pop up for you that you may have not even realized, or things will surface that you're like, oh, my gosh, that's holding me back from whatever. Or I'm so overwhelmed, I didn't realize it, but now I've taken time to sit here and just be with myself. I realize I'm overwhelmed. Maybe I need to hire somebody to watch the kids for a few hours while I can just indulge in myself and indulge in my passion. Maybe I need to hire a housekeeper to free me up from a little bit of, you know, chores around the house because I'm feeling overwhelmed. Maybe I need to just go take a walk out in nature and spend some time with myself doing the three eyes or just releasing some of the overwhelm that's happening in my mind and my body. So I think that it's very important what you shared, Megan, with regards to that. And I want to jump back into Julie and say, Julie, with regards to overwhelm, what is something that someone who is in, I want to say, self-denial of overwhelm, I'm not overwhelmed, just like people, are you stressed? No, I'm not stressing out, no, doggone well, there's so many people stressed out in the world today, but they can't even see it because they don't even realize it because they've been operating like that forever. So, Julie, can you share with the listeners, first of all, a couple things that people, to help them realize when they've stepped into overwhelm, and then we'll transition into what they can do to help circumvent some of this overwhelmness so that they can really step into living the life of their dreams?
Well, I think that if someone is not sure if they're overwhelmed or not, I think the first question that they can ask themselves is, how often do they say things like, I was so busy today, or I was so busy this week, and I have no idea what I did? If that is something that you say repeatedly to yourself or to your friends, and then I would say you're in that realm of overwhelm or stress, because you're not even focusing or being intentional about how you're going through your days, right? And I think the other one is that if you are wearing that, you know, I worked all weekend, I work 7 days a week, I work so hard, as a badge of honor, then you're also in that place of overwhelm, because you're not serving yourself. All you're doing is serving your business, serving your clients or whatever. And in my experience, if you're saying yes to all of that all the time, you're actually moving at a slower pace than you would if you were to serve yourself.
I love it.
And serve your family.
I love it. Now, what would you say, because there, you know, there's probably quite a few people listening that are not in business for themselves. They're not entrepreneurs. They're not business owners. They just have a regular 9-to-5 hustle and grind, and they experience overwhelm just as well. What would you say to those folks?
Well, really to all of you, to everyone who's in that state of working. So, I mean, even if you have a job, you can work really hard and not really know what you did all day. I mean, you can be like, man, I'm just like... Or all you're doing is putting out fires, right? You're not doing anything that you were supposed to do today. You're not doing anything that your boss asked you to. You're not doing any of the big projects, if you are your own boss, that you know will move the needle forward, because all you're doing is putting out fires. All you're doing is dealing with every little thing that comes your way without discriminating with what is more important than another. Is something really an emergency, or is it someone else's emergency and it's not really your emergency, but you're just in that mode of constantly dealing with things as they come up? And so what I would say to that is, number one, start really consciously deciding when you will handle things that come up. they don't all need to be handled right now because they are not all equally important and they are not emergencies generally.
Right.
And so prioritize the things, decide and get back to people and say, hey, you know, I will handle this tomorrow morning. I will handle this later today. I will, like, you don't have to do it right then. The hard part is retraining all the people that you've been saying yes to at the moment that they need something that you're not going to do it right then anymore.
Okay, so, wait. Hold on, Julie. Hold on.
Yeah.
Say that one more time because, girl, you guys are hitting the head on the nail on the head. Is that the same? Hitting the nail on the head. Say that one more time because I think people don't hear you and they need to hear you. Listeners, pay attention to this. Go.
So what... Yeah, what is happening is that we are saying yes to everything as it comes up at any given moment. Anybody who asks us to do anything, anything that comes along in an email, in a text message, you know, in a wherever it's coming up, we are stopping everything that we're doing and going, yep, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. It's just going to take a quick second. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. Instead of controlling it. And so... Yes, we can start saying, I'm gonna check my emails 3 times a day, and I will handle all the emails by the end of the day or by the next morning. And the hardest part of all of this, the biggest part of all of this, is retraining the people that we've been saying yes to at every given moment, that we are not at their beck and call, that we will take care of things, but we will take care of them on our terms, not necessarily on their terms. And it will get done, and they can trust us, and we are still reliable, but we don't have to drop everything that we are doing at any given moment just because you texted me that you needed some information from me.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you, because I think a lot of times people get caught up in whoever asks them to do something, they need to do it right away, and they don't really understand or really realize that some of the things don't need to be done right away. If you're putting out a fire, yeah, that needs to be done right away. If you're doing CPR on somebody that has no heart rhythm, yeah, that needs to be done right away. But if, you know, someone is calling you and they want you to stop by or they want you to stop and pick something up and drop it off to them, you don't need to respond to that right away because that's not,
right.
That's not, you know. So I think a lot of times people just get caught up in the, yes, I can do it, yes, I will, yes, I will, yes, I will, and not even process the information that they're saying yes to. And then, of course, this leads to overwhelm. They realize, I can't do all of this, but I've committed and I said yes to everybody. Now what the heck did I do? Now I got to do it because I feel obligated. And I think it's just putting the request in the right drawer. Fire can wait, can be done later. You know, putting the request in the right drawer, that will help a lot of people out. And I just, you know, there's so many people that just don't see themselves and overwhelmed. So thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
There's one thing you said there, Rochelle, that I would like to, like, when we say fire, you have to really decide what constitutes a fire and whose fire is it.
Thank you.
Because,
thank you.
Yeah.
Because my fire
we
is not
can't...
your fire, right?
Right. And if you come to me and you're on fire, but it's not my fire, I can say, yeah, I can help you with that, but not right now. Can I talk to you later today or at whatever time? And you're like, no, I need this now. Then you have to help them problem solve for themselves and say, is there someone else that you can go to? I really, because it's not my fire.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so we have to learn how to do it kindly, but firmly, so that people can either start helping themselves or they know that we will help them. They just need to maybe wait a couple hours. And usually, you guys, if we wait a couple hours, someone will figure out how to put their own fire out.
Right.
So we have to really decide whose fire is it and is it worth us getting involved or can it wait?
I love it. Thank you. Thank you for really going deep with regards to that because, again, you know, you're right. My fire may not be your fire and vice versa. But they're definitely a fire for that individual, or at least that individual feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So
right.
If we're able to decipher what's really a fire and what's not, then that helps to release some of the overwhelm. You know, one of the things I learned when I was an emergency room trauma nurse is prioritizing who was the sickest. So if you have five people having a heart attack all at the same time, which was the cardiac team, so to speak, which one of those five people were the sickest? And generally, most often than not, the one that was going to crump on you the fastest was the one that was sitting there being the quietest. The one that was hollering, oh, my gosh, oh, Lord, oh, blah, 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 blah. That person, you don't need to worry about as much because they're vocal. But that person that's sitting back there that is very quiet, that's the person you need to watch because that actually is the fire, not the one hollering and screaming, but the one that's sitting there in silence and quietly. And you could literally see things happen with regards to them as their heart attack got worse or there was more damage to the cardiac muscle. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for clarifying because, again, you know, we all have fires. They always are going to occur in our life. But when we're able to utilize intellect, insight, and intuition, that really does help us to decipher which is truly a fire, which is truly my fire versus which is someone else's fire and what I need to handle right now and what can wait. So I want to jump back with Megan. Megan, there's something with regards to, there's a quote that you have, we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. And it kind of goes in line with what we're talking about. Can you share some intellectual stimulation with regards to this quote that people can relate to because it hits the nail on the head for me? What would you say with regards to that quote?
Yeah, thanks for that. And it's actually Anais Nin said that quote, but I just think it's so perfect. And really what all of you were, what you were both talking about, to me, I categorize into this broader category of self-care, of finding that time to take care of ourselves, to set our own boundaries, and to live more more intentionally that way, which I think is really supportive. I love that quote, the we don't see people as they are, but as we are, because that kind of goes back to this notion of we see everything through lenses that we don't even know are there, right? They're born of our culture, our backgrounds, our experiences. Our self-conceptions also are kind of connected there. And so as we move through the world and through our lives, all we really can do is see things from our own lens, from our own vantage point. And anyone, you know, if you want to question that, all you have to do is go back and retrace the last time you had an argument with someone and you're in the same argument with the same person and both of you have dramatically different points of view about what is happening in that argument, right? Like that's the way it goes every time. And it's actually like that all day long. We're all going through lives, living lives and experiencing things from our own unique vantage point. And that's just the nature of being human. That's the nature of who we are. But if we want to have deeper connections with others and have more intentional impact on others and views of ourselves, we need to start understanding what those lenses are, what those perceptions are that are there.
So, I love it.
You know, yeah, how do we see ourselves, you know, especially in this moment in time in the world? I think it's really important for us to start paying attention to, for example, how bias is showing up for us, how our life experiences, our identity is impacting the way we're showing up and interpreting these moments that are happening in the world. And and how are those different than how we want to be? And how can we start getting honest with ourselves and making a choice to be different if that's what's necessary, or just start to check that? Because we're all kind of so impacted by our lives and our experiences that we often don't even realize how much they're shaping the way we're interacting with others. And we just need to start getting really curious there.
You know, you made an interesting point with regards to saying that we're all impacted by our own experiences in life and it impacts, it's impacting us. And what's funny is sometimes people don't even realize that. They think, you know, it is what it is, what it is. But just because it is what it is, what it is for you, that doesn't make it right, and that doesn't make that spirit that it's going to be that for someone else that you come in contact with. And so sometimes,
exactly,
like, instead of having that tunnel vision, we need to step outside of our box, so to speak, and step outside of, you know, our perception of things and put ourselves in the shoes of others. And that's one of the things with regards to empathy. When I was in nursing school, you know, I had a, you know, I'm an educated person, but I had no clue that sympathy and empathy were two different things. You know, sympathy mm-hmm. is feeling sorry for someone, whereas empathy is actually putting yourself in that person's shoes. And so when I became a nurse, it was like, you know, I was able to, like, okay, put myself in this person that's having this heart attack, you know. How would I feel? What kind of care would I want? How attentive would I want my healthcare professional to be? And with regards to what's happening with COVID-19, it's like, you know, a lot of people, I don't want to say that they're being selfish, but I just don't think that they see the other aspect. For instance, you know, we're all supposed to be wearing masks, and I don't care what state you're in or whatever. You're supposed to be wearing a mask if you're out in public just so you prevent yourself from getting COVID, but how about you prevent others from getting COVID? Now, just think, if you're that one of those people that you're not wearing a mask, and that's your mother or somebody's mother over there mm-hmm. that has a chronic health condition that you don't even know about, that person looks absolutely fabulous, but you don't know about their background and history, and you gave them something or they gave it to you, how would you mm-hmm. feel, you know? And so I think a lot of times we just see the world, our world, as the world, when our world is not the world. Our world is just our experience in the world. But when you're empathetic, you can step into anybody's shoes, whether you're black, white, brown, yellow, purple, whatever. You can step into that person's shoes, and you can feel and see and experience things from their perspective. And I think if there was more of that done in the world today, we wouldn't have so many issues that we have. But that's
yeah, I think
me,
that's, yeah.
You know,
I right. totally agree with you. I mean, I think it's such a good example. I was in the grocery store the other day, and I had my mask on because that's required. But I happened to be, like, shopping. You know, like you sometimes, like, shop, and you're kind of following someone else. You're kind of on the same mm-hmm. pace as somebody else. And I was shopping with an older gentleman, you know, so we kept passing each other in the aisles. And the grocery store had made a point of having, like, one-way aisles to try and help support
right.
with the social distancing. And I did it wrong. So the first time I encountered this old gentleman, which is why I noticed him, was because I was going the wrong way in the aisle. And he yelled at me. I was like, okay. And I turned around, I was a little bit annoyed, but I was like, all right. And so I got out of his way. And then lo and behold, as we're in line trying to check out, he's behind me. And, you know, the lines take a long time now. And so
right.
we were probably in line for about a half an hour. And he yelled successively at all these different people who were going the wrong way up the aisle, because we were in the aisle, you know, we were pointing the right way at that point. But he was yelling at people who would try and go the wrong way up the aisle. And it was getting on my nerves. Like, it was, like,
right.
irritating me. And I was getting mad. And I had a lot of judgments about him and what was going on there. And then I finally, like, took some breaths, and I calmed down, and I was like, okay, he's an old man. He's probably
right.
terrified to death to
right.
be out here shopping. And those one-way signs, he's hanging on those for some level of safety or comfort. Now, the way he's handling it isn't cool, and I don't think yelling at anybody is the right way to go. But as
right.
soon as I could put myself in his shoes and see that, right, this aggression is actually probably fear and anxiety, it let me
mm-hmm.
step back, and it took so much of the edge off of what he was doing. And he didn't have to change a thing. It just, the way I chose to see him and experience it shifted my relationship to it, which made a whole difference. So I think that's what we need to do. We need to, and I write about this stuff, and I still forget. So, like, it's just the constant reminder and the effort to try and stay in that empathetic place and to understand what might be going on for someone else or what their experiences are, I think would go
right.
a long way in this world.
I totally agree. So, you know, I'm in San Antonio, Texas right now, and me being from California and being a Bay Area girl,
mm-hmm.
it's a little different here because you know, Texas was one of the first states to rush. They just had to open. Now, I don't know why, but they just had to open. And I kept telling people, I'm like, you know, I love y'all, but you got to stay away from me because I'm going back and forth to California, and I don't want to take anything. I don't get sick, but doesn't mean that I'm not going to carry something that when I go back to see my kids, my family, my whole essence is in California, that I'm you know, I might pass something on. I'm a healthcare professional, true and true. And so, and people would ask me, well, why are you being so, like, funny? And I'm like, no, I'm not being funny. I said, because you know what? My health and well-being is my greatest asset. And if I lose that, I can't get that. I may not be able to get that back. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to be super productive about my health and well-being, but I'm not going to be rude or anything, but I'm going to protect myself as by all means necessary. And by me protecting myself, I'm actually helping to protect you guys. So it is really interesting with regards to what's going on. And I know a lot of people are overwhelmed. They're, you know, the shelter in place. And I tell people, I always try to keep it positive and say, hey, look, think how much money you're saving. You know, you guys going out to eat 5 nights a week. Think how much money you're saving. You know where your food is coming from. You know where your hands been. You know what you put in your food. You know how clean your kitchen is or not or whatever. You know your stuff. It's not a bad thing. Everybody is seeing it as a bad thing. And I'm seeing it. This is just allowing you to spend more time with your family, you know, allowing you to cook healthier meals, to improve your immune system, allowing you just a little chance to absorb some of the goodness that's in your house and stop trying to busy yourself with external things. And you're saving a ton of freaking money. You're saving a ton of money. And in this day and age when there's so many people that have lost their jobs and don't know about how they're going to survive tomorrow, it's a blessing to be able to do that. So I thank you both for sharing your words of wisdom. Now, I want to ask each of you one question, or I want to say, let me ask this. If each of you would be as so kind as to give the listeners one thing that they can take away from listening to us right now with regards to helping them be fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. And we'll go back to you, Julie. What would you say? What's a nugget of gold that you would share?
I'd actually like to touch on what you were just saying, Rochelle.
Go ahead, old girl. Do it.
Use this time as an opportunity and a gift of a moment to reset. You can reset how you approach your calendar. You can reset how you approach communication. You can reset the way that you have boundaries set up around you. As Megan said earlier, it's like we have to have these boundaries in order to stay healthy, physically healthy, as you were just talking about, but also mentally healthy. Mm-hmm. And so use this time as a gift to reset some of those habits that you had in the past, because going forward, we're not the same, and nor do we have to be the same or return to how we were. We have a great opportunity here to spin this into something so amazing for our own well-being and the well-being of the world.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I'm getting, like, all tingly, like, oh, yes. All right, Ms. Megan, it's your turn. What is a nugget of gold that you would share with someone or anyone listening right now, male or female, that would help them to step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable with regards to what we are talking about today?
Yeah, I just think it's constantly going back and reminding yourselves that you are enough and showing yourself that kind of care and compassion. It's an incredibly challenging moment in time in the world and to be a human being during this time. And we just really, I just encourage folks to learn to show a lot more care and love for themselves and have this fierce compassion for themselves. That's I think, the most important thing we can do right now.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, ladies. I love it. There you have it, listeners. Miss Megan Sweet and Miss Julie Miller Davis sharing with you some words of wisdom on what we can do to step into being fierce, fearless, and unstoppable. But not only that, how we can improve our lives. And this is a great time that we can utilize the tips that they've shared, the information that they shared in this short little chat that we had that can help us go forward, as I like to say, as we travel down our path to bliss with more grace, with more ease, less overwhelm, more focus, more insight, more taking care of ourselves, more understanding that, yeah, it's about us, but it's about us collectively. And as women, I always say when women unite and we just do not understand the power that we have, and we got three powerhouse chicks on this podcast right now, when we step into uniting, there's nothing on earth that can break us down. We are so powerful. And so I wanted to share these ladies with you, give you a little taste about what we're going to be talking about during our virtual summit on Saturday, August 1st from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I'm sorry, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time with regards to our virtual summit of the Unstoppable Woman Summit, Turning Your Passion into Purpose, as well as our live event that will be happening. These ladies are going to be our key features, speakers in San Diego, and as soon as it is safe, as soon, because I value everyone's health and well-being. I'm just a healthcare professional, and I know the importance of it. We will get together, and we are going to rock the house, because eventually this is going to go around the world. And who knows, these ladies might want to join me on my tour around the world with this. But right now we're starting in the U.S. And if us women in the U.S. can come together and unite and stop being catty about, girl, her shoes don't match her dress, her makeup is jacked up, why she got her hair that color, you know, why did she dye her hair, or whatever the case may be. If we could put all that aside and come together for the purpose of uniting, we are going to be the change agents of the world. Women are caretakers. Women are nurturers. Women are, we collaborate. We build each other up when we're in that space and when we have that space to do it. Men, well, that's a whole nother different story and a whole nother different show, but they are definitely not what we do. And so I invite all of you to check us out. Check out these ladies. Their website information will be on the podcast link. And I first of all want to thank both of you for taking time out of a busy day to have this conversation with me on Blissful Living. It's been a pleasure. And you gave just enough of a taste of the luscious appetizer so that when Saturday, August 1st comes, they will be ready for the full appetizer. And then when we do the live event, they're definitely going to be ready for the main course. So thank you, Megan, and thank you, Julie, for being a part of Blissful Living today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rochelle.
You're very welcome. And then I want to thank, of course, our sponsors, Blissful Living for You at Blissful Living, the number four, the letter U.com. If you're interested in finding out more information about how you can join the virtual summit, which is free, and I want every woman listening to this to not only be at that virtual summit, but to share it with a girlfriend or two girlfriends or three girlfriends or three women that they love and care about, because the more we can come together in a collective and collaborative manner and unite, we can change the world. We can start here in the U.S. and we can take it around the world. We can change it. So please share the show and please share the site, Blissful Living for You, so that people can register. I also want to thank All Day Cable Incorporated, telecommunications company located in the heart of Silicon Valley. If you have a need for voice data, fiber optic, wireless system, audio, video, whatever in that arena, you definitely want to check them out. They are solid, and they've been in business for 30 years, so please check them out. They have tremendous references, and they will do the job correct the first time. And I want to thank all of you listeners for paying attention and tuning in and taking this time to really love and embrace and engage and spend some time with yourself. It was a short amount of time, but I guarantee from this moment after listening to this, you'll be elevated, amplified, motivated, and inspired to really check your overwhelm at the door and utilize your insight, intuition, and intellect when it comes to living your life and stepping into your fullest. And when it comes to being fierce, fearless, unstoppable, you have some golden nuggets that these ladies share with you that you can immediately incorporate into your life to start your journey on your path to bliss. So thank you very much. And I guess, as always, I like to leave a message with all of you, and I'm wishing you peace to your mind, wellness to your body, and tranquility to your spirit. Until next time, may you stay healthy, safe, and well. Release any overwhelm and step into just loving yourself and allow that love to exude out to everyone you come in contact with, even those people that give you the crooked eye as you go in the grocery store, like Megan's experience. Alrighty, everyone, take good care. And until next time, goodbye for now.
Thank you for joining Rochelle Marie Lawson on Blissful Living. To contact Rochelle Marie and to find out more about Blissful Living, click on Blissful Living for You link right here on the Blissful Living Network. Catch all the Blissful Living episodes on demand.